All right, welcome to a discussion about going deeper and wider with our sermons from Sunday mornings. I am joined here with Miss Kim Duvall, who serves on our staff, and is going to ask me a couple questions to follow up on my sermon and to help us to dig a little bit deeper into it. So, Miss Kim, what do you have for me?
Okay, Pastor Matt, thank you. Thanks for having me today. I do have several questions, and one is that as I walked away from the sermon, I was thinking that I wasn't sure about what the difference was between a temptation and a trial.
Okay, so this is kind of, I literally am preaching just behind the scenes to the church. I'm literally preaching the third sermon and in my mind going kind of almost as a prayer, like, oh God, please let there not be anyone in this room who's thinking, you know, if I'm in a trial, I should endure this trial, even though it's not from God,
right?
If you will. So it's kind of like and before we get to the next question, it's a kind of a layer here of there's a temptation and a trial, but the same Greek word is used for both. So when James, when we see trials in verses 2 through 4, and then we see temptation in 13 through 15. It's actually using the same Greek word. So what I think James is wanting us to do is to see that the trials that we face become temptations when our desires transform the temptations to blame God or doubt his strength, and which is an internal thing, right? So it's your temptation has become controlled by your desires to form a trial into this temptation by saying, God's not strong enough to get me through this trial, or God led me into this trial, he's evil.
Right. Sometimes folks do blame God for their trials. Okay, yeah. That makes sense to me. So that helps some.
I mean, that helped me. I mean, I was sitting on stage going, oh my goodness, did I communicate this accurately? And this happens all the time, which is, if you're listening right now, this is essentially what this podcast is here for, this version of it, because I'm coming away going, oh man, Father, I hope they heard this in the right way.
Right, exactly. So with that then, this is going to lead me to the next question, which is, how do I know if I should endure a trial because it's going to be working something in me that God wants for me, or is it something that I should not be enduring, that I should be removing myself from?
Oh, that's good. Yeah, and I think the first question actually helps us to understand that, because you think about if it's a trial, I think James wants us to understand that trials are good, temptations are bad. So if we could think about it as every trial is something that is God has led us into that has not been corrupted by either our desires or someone else's desires, and it is something that through discernment and wisdom, which can only become through the Word of God and through prayer, we have decided and God has instilled within us that this trial is something that he is leading us through. I think oftentimes what people do is they go through trials that God may not have them in. And so that would be something that we would not be saying, go through that. And the best example of this that we would use around our church even would be if you're in an abusive situation, bad counsel would say, stay in that abusive situation and be hurt physically for no reason. Now, there's differences when you're a missionary and or if you're a Christian and you have persecution that is coming to you from the outside that you can't control. But when you're locking yourself into a relationship that you do have control over, I think there's wisdom in counseling to escape that pain and seek restoration for that person. So what you're doing is you're discerning, God, is this a path, a trial that you want me on? And if so, I'll trust in your strength. But if not, then I will stop pursuing that path.
That is a really good way of putting it. That really helps me to understand, I think, better. Here's the hard one. Are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
So this is one that I think probably not just me, but other folks question too, which is that, you know, you talked about the fact that God cannot be tempted. And in my mind, and all of my, I've been a Christian a long time, I've always known that Jesus and God are the same, that the Holy Spirit, Jesus, God, the same. does that mean that Jesus cannot be tempted?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was wrestling with this one as well, and I think we somewhat fleshed this out with our staff too. This is a good question for us to wrestle with when we think of the divinity of God, but also the humanity of God. So there's two parts here. I think the first part is when you look at that Matthew 4 passage, because that's really what comes to mind when you think about Jesus being tempted. Matthew 4, the Spirit leads Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted. So it's two things I would encourage this and take away. One, the Spirit of God is not the tempter, but it is the one that is leading Jesus to a place where he will be tempted. So in one sense, we're saying, okay, James says that God does not tempt. Okay, true. God does not tempt. So then we come at it and say, but can God be tempted? Can he be tempted? And that's where really the beauty of Jesus as both divine and human kind of comes into play here. And it actually, I think it reassures us as believers that Jesus has gone through everything that we went through. Mm-hmm. I read recently, someone said, you know, if Jesus was concerned with being faced with the things of this world or being dirty from this world or anything like that, he would have just stayed in heaven. He would have never come here. And it's like us in ministry. We go into places where we know we're going to face difficult situations and things that we might not be accustomed to. But we go into those, and what we say at our church is we run in the midst of darkness and light it up. So we know we're going into difficult situations. In the same way, Jesus, when he came into this world, it says in Philippians 2, that he emptied himself of that divine what I think I've studied to understand it is a divine he has some sort of extra that we don't have. He has this advantage, a divine advantage over us. But instead, he empties that out to say that he's come into this thing as a human, just like us.
I love that. It's almost like you're saying he set that aside in order to be able to feel what we feel and go through what we go through to truly experience our man nature.
Yeah. Just as 2 Corinthians 5 says, he who knew no sin became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. So it's actually he did endure that tempting or that trial, the temptation to. And which is it actually answers all of the questions when it says that Jesus is tempted, because it's a trial to make Jesus think that God is not powerful enough, his Father is not powerful enough to sustain him through this world, and to actually cling to the devil rather than clinging to his Father. That's what all three of the temptations essentially are.
Yes.
You're hungry? Okay, let me give you some food. Don't worry about your Father. And then Jesus responds, no, the Word of God is my food. I don't need your food, you know. So essentially what we have here is Jesus is tempted, like we are, to move from a trial to blaming God or to seeking other strengths outside of God.
To take his trust away from the Heavenly Father. So many of our temptations are that way too.
Exactly. So I think as I'm walking away from yesterday, pastoring, trying to shepherd our flock and speak into our flock from James 1, I'm kind of walking away going, if the Lord has led you into a trial, I'm confident that there is a crown of life at the end. If the Lord is not leading you through that trial, let us help you get out. And then lastly, if you were in a trial that the Lord had you in and you bailed out because you didn't think that God was strong enough, we would love to help you get back in it. And so, pursuing after the Lord is difficult in these days.
Challenging is the word I was thinking of.
Challenging. Pursuing after God these days is challenging. But he is with us, and we are for our people in our church. And I hope this has been beneficial to those who are listening and those who are in our church as well. Thank you, Ms. Kim, for hanging out with us.
You're welcome. Thank you for answering my questions. You're a blessing.
Oh, I appreciate it. So if you did not listen to the sermon, you can connect with that on YouTube. Just type in Westminster Baptist Church or on Facebook or on this podcast. Look for our most recent sermon. Thanks for joining us again. I hope this is a blessing to you as you grow deeper and wider in your life.